Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. And it looks like I'm flying solo for the first part of the show. Which means, Smitty, if you are listening, call in fast. I know Kev's gone. Where is Dan? Where is Dan Rose? And what is he doing? There's so much to talk about. He has, like, these paying jobs now. He never shows up anymore. All he does is go on his website or his Facebook and bitch and moan about Sandra Fluke, whatever you call her. But anyway, Peyton Manning, that is a true role model, a true class act. What a shame. It's just a shame. Now, where is he going? Denver, Seattle, Miami, the Redskins, the Jets, the Cardinals, Houston, or maybe Dan Rose, your hometown, Kansas City. Bounty Gate. We'll talk about the Saints. Quite frankly, I'm with Charles Barkley on this one. We'll talk about that. Greg Williams is in big trouble. Randy Moss might be going to the Saints. Maybe so. Say it is. Marshawn Lynch resigns. Waivers are on. Free agent activity is booming. This is exciting. We're going to put up the draft preview pretty soon. Smitty will be here to talk his March Madness primer. He did very well at March Madness last year, did even better at football this year, and do not get left behind. Smitty's March Madness primer goes on sale at FI next week. One segment on politics, but I was counting on Dan to be here for that. I mean, the issues for 2012, which is the election of our lifetime, we were just going to go over a few of those issues. Steak! You know we love steak, sports steak in the sexes. Oh, I had a good one at the grill the other night, the grill on the alley, the traditional Hollywood eatery. Only two restaurants of the top 20 in America have I been to, which means I have 18 fine restaurants to get to. For those of you who care, I've been to Mozza and I've been to Peter Luger's. Not on the list is Paisano's in Richmond, Illinois, which I'm telling you, on the border of Wisconsin, Illinois, best Italian restaurant in the country. Fantasy Insights Radio, back for another week, and it looks like I said I am here alone, which is disappointing for me, but probably, and for you, but probably thrilling for the people who normally come on this show who I interrupt and talk over all of the time. If you want to call in and talk to me about anything, please do so. 888-346-9144. 888-346-9144. At least I think that's the phone number, but Dan's the one who always tells me what the right phone number is. I think we got to start with Peyton Manning. Now, watching that press conference yesterday, it was almost surreal. It was so sad, even though it was so nice. Manning clearly is the consummate professional. He had nothing bad to say. Only good things to say, and quite frankly, I thought Irsay did a good job, too. This is a nice, amicable divorce, which is rare. No question he still wants to win, and I would not be surprised to see him remain in the AFC and really relish beating the Colts. You know, this is one of those rare times where both sides actually look good in the parting. I read a writer wrote a perfect storm of imperfect circumstances. And I have to say, it's really an accurate description. Andrew Luck at the time he's coming in, the deadline right before Peyton. You know, realistically, if the deadline is April 8 instead of March 8, Peyton Manning has another month to work out. You never know. The movie version of this story, Peyton signs on with a new team and wins the Super Bowl. So I think the most interesting place for him to end up would be in New York with the Jets. I'd love to see the two Mannings in New York, owning that town. Hey, I mean, he and Eli, could you imagine the Page Six gossip type stuff when he and Eli step out on the town and they just go to dinner together? But the word is that Peyton likes it more low-key. And we will talk about some of the teams that he might go to later in the show. Now, this was the spot in the show where Dan Rose was supposed to be here. We were going to start talking about all these things he's got his panties in a bunch over. So instead, I'll try to represent his socialist views before I espouse my conservative views in response. I love when he's not here to support himself. Now, John Stewart actually said the funniest and most appropriate thing regarding this whole Sandra Fluck thing with the Catholic hospitals and churches having to pay for contraception. He said, hey, they don't want to have to pay for that. Well, I shouldn't have to pay for the war in Iraq and all this other stuff and the oil subsidies. And, you know, I mean, his point's well taken. That's the best point I've heard from anyone on the left over this whole thing. But, you know, the sports icon, Manning, the new icon of the left, Sandra Fluck. Now, as I said, Dan got his panties in a bunch because Rush Limbaugh started, he called her a slut, as everybody knows by now. But he didn't really call her a slut. He said that a woman who is being paid for sex, what do you call her? Do you call her a prostitute? You call her a slut. Now, when I heard him say this, like, okay, it's tasteless. He shouldn't have done it. But the firestorm that it touched off, how now all Republicans want to destroy female reproductive rights, and, oh, let's talk about, oh, this poor girl who was testifying, and now, give me a break, people. Let's get to the facts about who the darling of the radical socialist left is. This darling girl who testified. Her name is Sandra Fluck. She is no fluke, even though that's how she spells her name. Excuse me. Look at that. I can't even breathe. I'm so upset over this. She's a career activist. She is not just a little innocent girl who went to law school. She's a career political activist. And actually, I don't know if Dan knows this. Most people don't know this. Her main issue, and she did enroll specifically just to take on this cause. She could have enrolled anywhere. But she enrolled here because she thought it was wrong, and so she wanted to take off this cause. People in the Democratic Party who are connected closely to Obama saw stuff of her testifying and thought she'd be a great person to bring in, so they brought her in. But her big issue prior to this, and let me take a step back. This woman's done some great things. Okay, so we're not going to take that away from her. She's worked with rape victims. She's worked with abused children. She's done some phenomenal things. So I'm not questioning her integrity, and I'm just saying simply that this is not Miss Little Innocent as she portrayed. Her big issue, for the fourth time, and I don't even have anybody here to interrupt me, and I'm interrupting myself, do you get that? Is that transgenderism and the ability to have a sex change operation, that was the crux of it. The ability to have a sex change operation is medically necessary and therefore needs to be paid for by the health plan at Georgetown, a Jesuit university which doesn't even believe in contraception or premarital sex, let alone a transgender sex change. I guess that's redundant. There's no, if it's transgender, that is a sex change. Medically necessary. Now, this is where I get into it all, okay? Because is what she said so horrible? Should she be able to get contraception? Sure. Do I want her to go without $3,000 worth of sex? No. But it just shows the limits to which people will go to deny personal freaking responsibility. Okay? It is not the government's responsibility to pay for my meals, to pay for my health care. Yes, I said that. It's not their responsibility to pay for my health care. And it's not their responsibility, even if we do say it's their responsibility to pay for my health care, it's certainly not their responsibility to pay for contraceptives so I can go enjoy my sex life. I should have to pay for my own condoms or steal them from my roommate if I'm in college. I mean, come on. $9 a day if you're uninsured for contraception. Yeah, if you're doing it every day, but I mean, come on. She could have gone to Planned Parenthood. They have free condoms. They have free birth control. This is about an attack on the Catholic Church, and the way that they're masking it is through women's reproductive rights. And the bottom line is, people are getting pissed because I'm making the pork analogy, but it is against the religious beliefs of these institutions. So what do these institutions do? Should they shut down? Should they not employ people if this is going to be required? I mean, these are the big issues that come up, and this is the problem. I mean, hey, I'm sorry. People don't like them making the issue with pork. But if a Jewish kosher kitchen is giving away food to the homeless, do they now have to also give out bacon? I mean, come on. It's absurd. They don't believe in it. We'll give you food, but we're not going to give you something we don't do. We'll give you health care. Now, what she was talking about, Ms. Fluck, was that there were certain situations where cysts can develop and birth control is used to help in those situations. Well, that is great, but that is not a contraception issue. It is a health issue. It is a medical issue, and that is a medical plan issue. And I would actually find myself possibly coming to the side of the aisle when if a doctor prescribes a pill, a birth control pill, or a method of birth control in order to regulate the system in order to cure cysts, well, that might be something I can get behind. But not giving out condoms. Not everyday people getting contraception. Either don't have sex, or go to Planned Parenthood, or do what everybody else does, just pull out. The Jews are against the pork, the Catholics are against the porking. That's what I'm taking out of all of this. You know, what's great, though, is that there's no consistency. Now, why is Bill Maher's $1 million not an issue? Bill Maher gave $1 million to President Obama. He called Sarah Palin the C word. That's worse than what Rush said. Shouldn't Obama return that money? I mean, what the Roots did to Michelle Bachmann? I never heard such an uproar. But this woman who's saying that contraception is a human right, and so Rush makes a comment, which, by the way, again, was stupid, and I'm not really a fan of Rush's show at all. But the whole reaction is just absurd. It's just absurd. So since I have no sponsors at this point, I suppose I could just say whatever I want. You know, Bill Maher doesn't have sponsors, so there's no uproar against him. So what I would say, here's what I'll say about all women. You're all nuts. I think we should just find the prettiest one we can and learn how to put up with your shit. You're all insane. So I treat you as if you're insane. And when you act insane, I just understand it. It doesn't surprise me. I don't react to it. Now, by the same token, women, you should say all men are disgusting. We are. We burp, we fart, we scratch. We're lazy, we loaf around, we're really not interested in what you have to say, unless we're faking it or it's the first 20 minutes of the day, or we're bored in the car on the way home and we need somebody to entertain us. And other than that, we really don't want to talk unless it's sexual. Speaking for you guys, afraid to say it? I don't know, since the whole Breitbart thing, I've found myself espousing more and more venom that I've held in, more and more things that need to be said, not about women and men, but about the truths about the politics in our society and how inconsistent it is. This is the election of our lifetime. It looks like Romney's going to be the candidate, but you never know. Sarah Palin's starting to throw her name around, which would be a disaster. And Dan is not here for the very spirited debate we were going to have where he was going to tell me now all the different things Republicans do to defeat women's reproductive rights and to sing the virtues of Sandra Fluck, who, again, was no fluke. In any event, we're not going to talk politics after next segment. We'll get back to football. I did see Breitbart's smoking gun with this thing, these Obama videos. So far, I'm unimpressed. I'm going to need to know a lot more. So what did they show? He hung out with radicals? Big deal. We already knew that. He's a radical. Fantasy Insights Radio, that's all the politics we have to talk about today. We will get to Peyton Manning and all the other football news right after this. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday.
flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network. If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
It would be nice for these guys to tell me when they're not going to show up to the radio show, because I would do a little bit more prep. You know, it's a lot easier when you're talking to somebody. So I'm going to do what Vin Scully does. I'm going to have a conversation with you, the listeners. Hello there. How are you? Hey, Peyton Manning, where is he going? Now, Denver, this kills me. This is my ultimate dilemma, because I've got the Tebow mania. You know I've got the Tebow mania. Denver is one of the first teams to reach out to Manning. And with that defense and in that division, I would not be surprised to see Manning want to play there. So what do you do if you're Tim Tebow? Well, apparently, if they get Manning, they are going to trade Tebow. And this might be Elway's perfect excuse after saying all the right things to get rid of him. If you're going to trade Tim Tebow, who's going to want him? Well, I'll tell you who's going to want him. The teams that are focused on getting attendance, not the teams that are focused on getting to the Super Bowl. And a team with a great defense that loves to run the ball and might be able to accommodate him would be the team in his home state, Florida, Jacksonville, the Jaguars. I mean, even as a dropback quarterback, I like him better than Blaine Gabbert. I mean, really, come on. If you're Tebow, do you just say, I want to play under Manning for a year and learn under Manning and I want to be a backup? If you're Tim Tebow, I don't know. I think he's ready. If I'm him, I want to play. Kansas City, another potential landing spot for Manning. And I actually like this as the best landing spot for him, and I'll tell you why. Kansas City has a great defense, great stadium to play in, weak division. Jamal Charles back healthy, Dwayne Bowe, Stevie Breston, Jonathan Baldwin, Tony Moyaki, a very decent offensive line that can improve through the draft. I mean, that's a team that I believe can win now. You know, last year they were expected to be a strong team. They started out terribly. They got back into it even without Castle, and they ended up with a decent season. So I kind of like Kansas City to build on that 8-8 with Peyton Manning. I think he's a good chance to go there. Now, the one that's really interesting, and actually at this point looks like it might be the most realistic, is Seattle. Pete Carroll building a team up there with a strong defense, good place to play, pseudo-dome, so to speak. Weakest division in football. Excuse me, I got the hiccups from that good steak I ate the other night. And then you've got Miami, who's going to put up a ton of money. Now, Miami needs a star. They want to put butts in seats, but if you're Peyton Manning, do you want to go to that division? It's a pretty tough division. Even a great team has trouble winning 10 games in that division. It would be nice because he's got Reggie Bush. It would be nice because he's got Daniel Thomas. Brandon Marshall is a clear number one. Devon Best, in my opinion, better than any number two he's had in a while. I mean, yeah, I have people like Garcon, but I'm not big on Garcon. And I think Hartline's every bit as good as Austin Collie with Peyton Manning at quarterback. So Jake Long at the left tackle, to me, that's the single most motivating thing about playing in Miami, is that you could be playing with an offensive line that's anchored on the blind side by the best tackle in football. The Washington Redskins trying to get in onto Peyton Manning's sweepstakes. But how did he go play for the Redskins? That even with Shanahan, that's just an organization in disarray. Great young running backs in Helu and Royster. Great young quarterback in, nobody. So, I mean, obviously he could go there and he could play. Not enough receiving talent. Santana Moss would be great with Peyton Manning. Jabbar Gaffney probably would have a very solid year. I mean, these are guys, as long as you know how to run a route right with Peyton Manning, you're going to do well. But they would need to go out and also sign a receiver or draft a top-notch receiver. Maybe they can get Blackman if they get Manning. Fred Davis, a very big ad. And maybe Cooley, too. Folks, I'm going to go to bed for a little while. You mind? You mind if I take a nap? I got no energy. I need some coffee. There's nobody here to argue with me. I think I'm going to just take a nap. But before I do, let's talk about Saintsgate. Saintsgate, I mean, I bypassed a few teams that Manning, are you really that interested in where Manning's going? I am. So I guess I shouldn't bypass the Jets, who, you know, I think it would be cool, but it's not going to happen. The Cardinals, maybe, but do you really want to go play for the Cardinals? I know Kurt Warner did it, but it's still a tough place to go play. And Houston, I don't see them doing anything because of Matt Schaub. They like Matt Schaub. Plus, I don't think Manning fits in the waggle offense. You know, they like to move the quarterback around a lot in that offense. Same thing in Washington. So I don't know if he's going to work out there. Don't know why Minnesota's not in the discussion. They certainly could use a real quarterback. Saintsgate, the bounties. Now, to me, the real issue with the Saints is nothing. I don't care about the bounties. Is it really that big a deal? Did you not know what was going on? Please. I mean, come on, you're not supposed to talk about it, but everybody does it. But the big deal to me in the Saints' case is that Breeze is furious about being franchise tagged. And if I'm the Saints, the one guy I want to make sure is always happy is Drew Breeze. He's more important than your coaching staff. He's more important than any other player on your roster. He's more important than any player in the NFL, barring two or three. I mean, this is a guy who will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game. He's got a Super Bowl. He's got the record. He's got a long history now of winning. He needs to get to another Super Bowl, in my opinion, to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt, no questions asked, conversation of the best of all time. You know, he's lost two bad playoff games. He lost that game in Seattle, and he lost that game last year in San Francisco. So those are two bad playoff games. The game that he lost to the Bears the year before they made the Super Bowl, no big deal. I can get by that. That's an okay loss. But losing to Seattle, bad loss. Losing in San Francisco, good team that they lost to, but a bad loss. So looking further into the Saints gate, I'm with Charles Barkley. Now, Charles Barkley just said, whoever gave it up, whoever told him about it, is a punk. And whoever does anonymous talking, they're a punk. And I kind of like when I hear Charles Barkley say somebody's a punk. You're a punk. Now, he's right. Because, I mean, come on. You watch sports. I mean, what is sports coming to? I mean, give me a break. Of course they're putting bounties on quarterbacks. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And I believe exactly what Jonathan Vilma said, exactly what former players have said. We weren't trying to hurt anybody, but we were trying to hit them hard when we hit them. And what is the objective of every defense on every quarterback? unless it's Curtis Painter or Kerry Collins. Knock him out of the game. You want to knock that quarterback out of the game. Well, folks, I'm sorry, but this is a gladiator sport. How do you knock someone out of a game? You ring their bell. If you don't want people putting bounties on quarterbacks, then make a helmet-to-helmet more than 15 yards. Make it 15 yards, and you're suspended for a certain number of plays, if not the whole game, and even the next game. If you really want to enforce not having bounties be a factor, then all you got to do is punish the helmet-to-helmet hits more severely than a 15-yard penalty, depending on the degree. No reason you can't do that. I don't know. I just don't see this as that big a deal. I mean, yeah, so in football, I mean, how much more damage can you do to a quarterback when you're trying to hit him hard versus just trying to sack him? I mean, come on. They're trying to crush him anyway. Look at Warren Sapp's Twitter handle. It's QB Killer. I mean, that's what they do. What do you do for a living? I kill quarterbacks. That's what Sapp used to say. Kill the quarterback. It's what you taught from every snap from when you're little. So I don't buy into this as a big deal. I mean, if they were talking about injuring people, making sure when receivers came over the middle that they got hurt and they took them out of the game, that's a different story. You're in a defenseless position. Quarterbacks know they're there to take a hit. Quarterback, the action's in front of them, and if they get hit by the blind side, they know it's a risk of playing the position. Okay? Nobody hitting a quarterback from the blind side on a bounty hit is going to do anything more than they would have done otherwise. They're going after the quarterback with the intent of crushing him. So I just don't see this as that big a deal. You know, and Kurt Warner, the hit on Kurt Warner, I understand it being a bounty hit, and maybe it wasn't ethical, but hey, when you throw an interception, keep your eyes open. You're fair game. You're fair game. I didn't like that hit at all. I thought it was horrible. But it was a clean hit. It was just a brutal hit. It was clean. It was a legal block. There was no penalty on the play. All right. That's enough for Saintsgate. I think the fact that Breeze is unhappy is a big deal. But the most important thing about Saints that I want to talk about, actually, is Randy Moss. You know I love Randy Moss. And apparently he looked every bit Randy Moss at his workout with the Saints. They were extremely thrilled. They stand to lose Colston. They potentially stand to lose Meacham. My guess is if they sign Randy Moss, that is more dangerous for Meacham's roster spot than Colston's, because Randy Moss doesn't strike me as the type of receiver who's going to run Colston's routes. He's not going to be going 10 yards downfield, turn around over the middle, and getting slammed, or running, a 30-yard skinny post for a touchdown, getting slammed by the safety. Moss is outside of the field, and that's where Robert Meacham did most of his work. So his position in the offense would be the position probably that either Meacham or Devery Henderson has occupied. But they do say there's a better than 50% chance that Randy Moss is going to get signed by the Saints. And the reports from multiple sources, including reputable sources like Grazer and Lombardi and LaConfora, have said that he looked every bit the Randy Moss that we knew in New England before the very end. And so that's encouraging to me, because I always love seeing a player like that. Now, the other side of super receivers on the downside or on the tail end of their career, and it's not going so well, is Terrell Owens. Now, Terrell Owens, he had a few touchdowns in that ridiculous game. Apparently, he lost his condo to foreclosure now. He's in some serious financial trouble. And if there's one guy nobody wants to help out of his troubled situation and where his actions are coming back to haunt him, it's Terrell Owens. Because say what you want to say about Randy Moss, you can't find anybody on the Patriots to say he was a bad locker room guy. They all say he was a good locker room guy and he was a good teammate. And what happened in New England at the end, something happened between Moss and Belichick. They had some kind of fight. Moss said something he shouldn't have said, and that was it. And it seems like Belichick's even forgiven him, but Moss never was a locker room cancer in any way. Even in Minnesota, he's a fiery personality, but all his teammates always said he's a good teammate. He's a fiery guy. Yeah, he takes a few plays off. But, going back, obviously, the beginning of his time, and still, he can do it. He can do it. I mean, it's only 3 years ago he was one of the top five fantasy receivers in the league. All right. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday. We're heading out to the midway break. What would they call that? The bottom of the hour, I guess a professional would call that. When we come back, we'll have Smitty come on. We'll talk a little bit of football. We'll talk a lot of March Madness. And maybe I'll have him represent the socialist communist viewpoint of society. When we come back, Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Play ball! If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz is heard every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Just remembering Randy Moss when he caught that pass and did he lateral it or did somebody lateral it to him? Smitty, you're here now, aren't you?
I am here. How you doing, man?
Remember the play I'm talking about? Did he lateral it? Or did, so, you know the one, it was an amazing, amazing play a few years ago. He like caught the pass, he was about to score the touchdown and the tackler came over and he lateraled it around. I don't remember. This is amazing.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, you think about Moss, we were talking during the break. I think Moss is one that the truly, you know, two or three unique receivers in NFL history. And I think it's almost like Favre in his heyday or Steve Young in his heyday, that the sense of the game and what he can do is just at a different level. That's why he's able to do those kind of laterals. That's why teams still want to talk to him. And he's still, I think, going to be a good fit. I heard a little bit of your tail end there. I agree with you. I think he's going to displace Meacham because if Moss is in shape, speed-wise, he's at or about the Meacham level. He's got better hands. He's got more height. He's still got great leaping ability. You can go to him long, or you can go to him for a sure touchdown pass. Just put it where only he can catch it, and he'll still make that catch.
Well, and I dare you, with Drew Brees as his quarterback, to play him one-on-one.
Oh, and that's why I love Brees. I mean, Brees was responsible for my two fantasy titles last year, and Brees is awesome because I'd say almost more than any quarterback in the game, and certainly any good one, he's not afraid to just say, you know what, 40-50-yard pass, I'm taking my shot.
Yeah, I am very surprised that the Saints are so careless with Brees right now.
Yeah,
he's really pissed about being tagged.
That's a mistake. You know, that guy is so so central to their titles and their near titles and the city. You gotta get that one right.
Yeah, and that's like I said, it's not like he's just a good quarterback or a great quarterback. He's, if not the best, he's top three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. One or two. I mean,
Does he need to win or at least appear in another Super Bowl to be a Hall of Famer, or is he already a Hall of Famer?
Already a Hall of Famer.
Virtue of the fact that he set the record and he won a Super Bowl?
Well, and he's also going to end up with, what, 50,000 yards before he hangs it up? 40,000? 50,000?
I love Breeze. I think he's amazing.
No, Breeze is awesome. And, you know, top quarterbacks in the NFL today, I mean, I think it's a list of two. I think, you know, we had these discussions. I think Brady, you know, is older and is falling a notch back. I think it's Rodgers and Breeze, however you want to do it.
And Joe Webb.
And who? Joe Webb. Yeah, that's right. You know, I'll tell you, with the combines going on and you know, fantasy football, you know, again, 4 months away or whatever, we are all anticipating who's going to be your incredible can't miss rookie of next season. We don't know who it is yet, right? But if it's not,
well, I know who it is.
Who?
No, you never know until they get drafted.
Yeah, you can't. No, you can't call out Trent Richardson. I mean, you know, we're looking for the Lance Kendricks of 2012.
Well, yeah, okay. Now listen. Now, we gave me crap about Lance Kendricks, but my rookie record last year was pretty good.
No, the one you nailed, and this is the reason I'm going to win a local league here, is Cam Newton, because
and DeMarco Murray.
Okay.
Wrote DeMarco Murray, and was, do you remember the debate we were having last year where Kevin and Dan were making fun of me that I thought I knew more than NFL offensive coordinators because I kept telling them all they had to do was put DeMarco Murray in and the Cowboys will start winning, and of course they put him in, they start winning, as he gets hurt, they start losing.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with Dallas. And it's a tough call. I know where they were coming from, which is basically that if you can't pick up NFL blocking schemes, but I think Dallas has a little more leeway with a mobile quarterback like Romo. So, yeah.
Well, the guys that I'm looking at talent wise amongst the rookies, yeah, I actually am much higher on Trent Richardson than most people. I think he's a first. I think he's a must take.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said muff take. I'm like, wait, are we back to last week's conversation?
No, or Kyle Williams in a pun. No, I think he's a must take. I think that Luck and Griffin are separable only by Luck's pedigree. Griffin may really end up being a just as good a pro, if not better.
Right.
Depends on the offense Griffin gets drafted into and what he does. But what I'm impressed with Griffin is that he's bigger than we thought. And he might be able to withstand a little bit more of a beating.
Oh, sure, yeah. That was your argument, that you thought he was too fragile.
Yeah,
you
know, and he weighed in bigger. And not only that, you know, Greg Cosell every year does the NFL films. He puts the top draft picks on the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to read his reviews of the players, because he comes out and he says, without giving anything official, he just says his general take.
Right.
You know,
right.
And after watching this year after year after year after year, he's gotten pretty good at watching highlights.
I should know this, but is he related to the old, you know?
I believe he's master. Howard's either his nephew or his grandson.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You know, just a quick plug. I mean, I read Cosell's biography. It's a recent one that came out. It was awesome. I mean, you remember all the stuff. You remember all
amazing.
The stuff that he went through.
And when people say that he said stupid things, that we lived in a different time then.
Well, but here's the thing. He actually went through sports journalism and didn't said things back then that doesn't happen anymore. You don't have sports journalists taking the kind of stands he did defending Muhammad Ali or just pointing out how ridiculous boxing was and being true to his word when he never did the best sport he did. He never did another one after Randall Tex Cobb was pummeled by Larry Holmes and this fight wasn't stopped.
Yeah. No, Cosell was an amazing man, actually. He was a really, and a great sports journalist. Great one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and he was larger than life, and you know, he died relatively. What really killed him? I think he was happily married for 40 or 50 years, and so when his wife passed away, he, you know, sort of lost the will there. But he still should have had a little bit of a better ending.
Yeah, it is sad. Well, in any event, Greg Cosell, his comments about Griffin were that he was very surprised by the fluidity. The ease of
mm-hmm.
motion.
Oh, sure.
He was very surprised at his, what he would call his snap throws, meaning how much velocity
mm-hmm.
he had on the ball with snap, his snaps of the wrist, that his velocity clearly was NFL ready.
Oh, sure.
And that the only thing about him he said that was funny, I thought, was that his 40 time was the most meaningless stat at the combine.
Yeah, well, I watched him in several games live while he was pounding Texas down here the last few years. The guy could throw a 60-yard pass on a dime, and, yeah, absolutely effortlessly. And, you know,
he's big.
Yeah.
Did you see him, his physique?
Well, you were the one saying he was too small.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm amazed. Hey, look, there's no bigger preacher than a convert to the cause.
There you go.
Okay, so I'm a convert to the cause. I mean, this guy, I mean, he looked, if I was a woman, I'd say he looked hot. I mean, he had a build. I mean, he was cut up. I mean, his arms, and this guy had he's a hurdler.
Yeah.
So he's got a runner's physique. He's got those big thighs. I'm no longer concerned about his ability to take a few hits here and there. And quite frankly, my belief in this new NFL is that mobile quarterbacks are your fantasy friend.
Yep.
And it's not like they're going to pull Griffin. And this is what I thought about Cam Newton and why I thought he would succeed. It's the same argument why Tebow would succeed. And we'll talk about that in a second.
wait.
Well, we'll talk about that in a
second. One of these is not like the other. It has nothing to do with
No, you're right. Well, but we'll talk about the phenomenon we're talking about as the running quarterback.
Yep.
And for fantasy purposes, Tebow's fine.
Why would you want to back him?
We'll get there. I think he's going to be starting somewhere else. Come on, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, quick question, because I didn't catch this part of the show. Did you conclude where you think Peyton Manning will go?
No, we're going to do that together.
Okay.
I do have my thoughts of where he's going to go, but I'm not sure if I'm right. Although usually with these things, I'm pretty good. What were we talking about right before this? When you cut me off about Tebow. Griffin, okay. My thought is this, and this is why I thought Cam Newton would be successful. They're going to commit to him. Whoever picks him is going to commit to him.
Sure.
They're going to be down in a lot of ball games. He's going to throw a lot of interceptions. But he's going to make a lot of positive plays, and he's going to make a lot of big plays, and he himself will make things happen when his teammates can.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a will to win, and you can see that in RG3, even though it was a ridiculous game. If you remember the bowl game where I think 100 points were posted.
Oh, that was the best football game I've watched in 20 years.
They were down by 10 points.
That game was awesome. Washington
was up like 45-31.
Oh, it was a great game.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, I couldn't believe it. I was like, see, he's a fraud. It's over.
Well,
and then he came back.
And that's why Cam Newton's awesome, because look at all the games where Carolina was way down. They came back, won some of those games.
Yep.
You know, almost won others. And I'll tell you this, he was definitely a friend of the betting man, because Carolina, with any points at all, was a pretty good play last year.
No, absolutely. And that's a good segue, but we'll wait till next segment to get into March Madness.
March Madness, I'm in the Mecca.
Tim Tebow before we talk about March Madness.
If we have to.
I think the two most likely teams to get Manning are the Broncos and the Seahawks.
Mm.
That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
Although I can make a strong case for Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Cardinals will make a good push.
Yep. So here's SI had your first two choices rated 6 and 7 of the 7 they put out there. They had KC, I think, 3 or 4. And I think Arizona's a great candidate because they've got pretty good foundation, and every quarterback wants to play with guys like Larry Fitzgerald. And then the other one, of course, I think you may have mentioned, Miami, you know, is up there, but not perfect. And then
Seattle.
Seattle is okay. Yeah, Seattle's good because you're not going to go Tarvaris Jackson for too long. And then the inevitable one, I think, is a candidate just because it's Daniel Snyder, and it happens all the time, is Washington.
Well, yeah, the Redskins and the Jets are candidates, but I can't see him going to the Redskins.
I can see him going to the Redskins. I can't see him going to the Jets because of Ryan, because he doesn't want to compete or upstage or be in the same playing field as his brother, and he's not a New York kind of guy.
I think New York kind of guy is the only argument I buy of the three you just listed. I think being with his brother would be a positive, and I think he respects Ryan enough to play for him because he believes in that defense. The Seahawks are a realistic chance because they have the easiest path. Although I don't know that I'd want to be in the NFC and having to contend with Breeze and Rodgers. To me, the place to go, if I were Peyton Manning, I'd sign in Miami.
If you wanted to win a title?
I still would go to Miami, and I'll tell you why. Brandon Marshall, Devon Bess, and Brian Hartline are as good a receiving core as he's ever had.
Say it again. Brandon Marshall, Devon Bess, Brian Hartline
are as good a receiving core as Manning's ever had.
No way. Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, far surpass that.
Okay, but, well, you're bringing in the tight end. Okay, fine. So 1 year, for 2 years, he had those three guys, for 2 years.
Right. Okay, I'm just pointing out that you were, that was a dramatically wrong statement.
Out of 14 or 15 years, it's the second best. Put it this way. It's better than Colley and Garcon, who he won to a Super Bowl with.
No, Colley and Garcon, and then, of course, Gonzalez could never stay healthy,
right.
So that panned out.
All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish this discussion and get into March Madness. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday, the Thursday before the NCAA tournament begins.
Indeed. We're ready. I'm going to the Mecca.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
7 million pounds of pink slime going to be sent to our school kids for lunch.
In California or just in general?
In general.
Oh, nice.
How is pink slime legal?
I don't even know what that is. What do you mean by that?
Are you kidding me?
No, I don't.
All right, go on Yahoo.
There's
an article on pink slime.
Okay.
And if not, go to just do a search, Jamie Oliver, pink slime. Okay. All of you, not just Smitty. If you don't know what pink slime is, I'm going to tell you real quickly. You've heard me talk about it before. Pink slime is animal scraps, basically, meat byproducts like bone and gristle and joints and tendons and all that kind of crap that's unfit for human consumption. In fact, it's banned in the UK to serve to humans. It's what the butcher does is he takes this stuff and he puts it in a bucket and he gives it to somebody to take away and take to dog food factories.
Mm.
What the meat companies have started to do, or they've been doing it for quite some time, actually. You've eaten this, I've eaten this, we've all eaten it. They wash and spin these grizzled pieces of bone in ammonia.
Mm.
Ammonia! And it separates the fragments and softens them to the point where they can then put it in a grinder and grind it up, and it ends up like this pink slime that looks really a lot like ground beef or ground chicken, and they integrate it into the beef. And as long as there is a minimum of 70% ground beef, I'm sorry, 80% ground beef, up to 20% of the package can be this material without them having to disclose to you that it's in there.
Well, this is certainly an issue you know very well, but our fans may want to hear about March Madness also.
Well, I'm just telling you, your kids are going to eat pink slime.
So I don't have kids, you know, and when I was in grade school, I lived two blocks away, so I walked home for lunch every day, never even dealt with a, you know.
Oh, no wonder you're a socialist pig then.
Didn't really see the need, you know. All the stuff that people were going through, like, I've got a sandwich waiting for me when I go home. Yeah.
So you, Mr. 99%, used to go and pull the elitist routine at lunchtime during school.
It wasn't the elitist.
Is this giving you penance, being a liberal now?
No, it's a matter of living two blocks away, and you know, my dad was retired back then, and so.
Yeah, that's good comedy. You know. Tell me what I really want to know. What's going on now? March Madness last year, you were about 62-63%.
It was high, and you know, of course, what I typically do is, what I always do, I make a call on every game, which, you know, obviously you can do the math, there's 63 or actually 67 games, and then I post what's kind of called the dollar sign games, which are the ones that I think are the best to wager on. Usually I hit about 60% of those.
And you give a few tournament winners as well.
All the above. I mean,
all right,
you know.
So when are we going to be able to launch this for people? Because the tournament start Wednesday?
Tournament starts Tuesday, so actually,
I guess over the weekend we're going to launch it.
It's going to be launched Monday night. So
Monday night it will launch, folks.
So what's going to happen Monday night? You know, just like you were doing the football primer and hopefully checking into us on that, you'll get the list of games.
All right,
posted.
So Monday I'm going to send out the email to the subscribers then.
That's fine. You can send it out Monday. I'll have write-ups on the Tuesday, you know, first four, as they call it now, games that are played on Tuesday. And just a little sidelight here, for the first time in a decade, I am going to be in the Mecca, a.k.a. Las Vegas, with some poker buddies that, you know, I guess are going to set me up with some kind of suite at the MGM. So we'll be live in the midst of the chaos. So,
nice.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
All right, so now that we've seen the tournaments are starting, we're starting to see some of the teams that are in. We've seen that Michigan won the Big Ten.
Michigan State won the Big Ten.
No, Michigan won the Big Ten.
No, Michigan State has the one seed. Michigan has the two seed.
Why do they have the one seed?
Huh?
Why do they have the one seed?
Tiebreakers.
Which tiebreakers? They split.
Now, there's a tiebreaker that basically, if you go to Wikipedia, do Big Ten tournament, it'll give you the tiebreakers.
Yeah.
It goes to the first or second tiebreaker, where I think it comes down to that Michigan State was 2-0 against Wisconsin, which gives us that first seed. So,
all right. Well, in any event, we shared the title.
No,
we won. Co-champions of the Big Ten.
Nope, we won.
No, we are co-champions. Will you stop it? You get the number one seed, but we are listed as co-champions.
No, we won.
You can say you won, but it doesn't matter what you say. Officially, we are the co-champions, which is monumental. And we get a first-round bye, which is nice. Big Ten, clearly the best conference. It's the Big Ten is to college basketball as the SEC is to college football.
Well,
except for one major thing.
What's that?
The championships.
Yeah, that's true. Michigan State needs to win another one. And if you put Michigan State in the Midwest playing Kansas as a one seed, Michigan State is a two. They can take it, but they got to win one. It's going to be really hard to beat Kentucky and North Carolina.
Oh, boy, it's a good thing Dan isn't here. You'd think he had a conniption over Fluke. He'd have a real conniption over you saying Michigan State can beat Kansas.
Of course they can. I mean,
he's in the Big 12 tournament right now, I believe.
What's that?
I think he's in the Big 12 tournament.
Oh, okay. Well, they were beating A&M like 40-28 at halftime or something like that. So he'll be happy. They're 15-point favorites. Big deal.
So other than the Big Ten teams, you've got Syracuse, you've got Kansas, you've got Kentucky. Who am I missing in the national picture?
Did you say North Carolina?
No, I did not.
Oh,
and I
North
did not
Carolina,
say Duke either.
They're not even a dark horse. I mean, you know, obviously they were the number one team coming into this season. I think they've rounded into shape. You saw what they did to Duke in Duke, basically took them apart, never gave them a chance to breathe. So, I mean, I think the two teams in all your brackets and everyone filling out their stuff, everyone should have at least one entry with Kentucky winning it all and one with North Carolina winning it all. Your backup picks are Dukes, I suppose, Syracuse.
You think Carolina's that tough this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kansas,
do they have the senior leadership or the one standout player who can take over?
Thomas Robinson. He's not even a poor man's Dwight Howard. He's as close as you can get to Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I haven't watched any college basketball.
He's a better shooter. He's a better shooter than Dwight Howard probably ever
but
will
be. He's a big man.
Yeah, he's a big man.
Who's got the best Dwayne Wade-style guard? Who's got the best swingman scorer of all the teams that are competing?
That's a tough one. Mizzou's got some guys. I mean, Denman and some
Mizzou's
of the guys.
Mizzou's not going anywhere.
They're going to be a two or three.
They're
seed.
Not going anywhere. Kansas.
No, they're going to be a tough. They're going to be a
Mizzou
tough.
Mizzou always chokes.
Yeah. Seth Davis, look up the column he wrote. He got it from some insiders. I'll send it to you after this broadcast. He got some coaches to talk frankly, you know, condition of anonymity, and talk about teams in their own conferences. It was incredibly revealing. I mean, these guys are saying stuff like, yeah, Baylor never wins a game. They always choke. We hate playing Wisconsin. They're thugs. They mug us the whole time. Their game is boring. So it was awesome reading.
Yeah, that sounds nice, actually. I like that kind of stuff. I love that inside scoop. By the way, we only have another minute left. We've talked enough March Madness for my taste for now, because we're going to talk more next week, and people are going to get the primer. We only have a minute to go. Give me 30 seconds on your thoughts about Saintsgate with these bounties. I personally don't think it's a big deal at all, but what do you say?
I heard what you said about what Barkley says, and I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's overstated. I think... Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, an issue comes up sometimes that should be minor and gets blown so out of proportion.
You mean like Rush Limbaugh calling Miss Fluke a slut?
Rush Limbaugh is not relevant. I mean, you know.
To, thank you. I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
Who cares? I mean, just like I didn't care when Mara called Sarah Palin a slut. They're comedians, they're entertainers, they say stupid shit all the time. Just like I do, folks! And I don't get thrown off the air, at least not yet. Smitty, thanks for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure.
Everybody else, thanks for listening. Go look up the pink slime. Do yourself a favor and write your school board a note that you don't want your kids eating pink slime. It's horrible. Fantasy Insights Radio, if you need to find the link, just go to my Facebook page, Dish Adams. We'll be back next week.
See you guys.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.